I was thinking a little bit ago when Brother Leon got up and made the statement that this wasn't his, that it belonged to you and to God. I told the brother standing close to me, I said, that's such a wonderful attitude. That's a real God attitude. Person does that, then there's no boundaries and limitations in God as to what God will do for him. And I'm so thankful for that kind of attitude, and I'm extremely grateful tonight, exceedingly grateful, to see my son George Jr. up here. Told my wife, I said, this is his hour. And God brought him up here, and Brother Wilson, through Christ, reached him, and he has, like Joseph, come out of the dungeon. Come up, cut his hair, shave, and come forth to do something for Jesus. I'm so grateful tonight for it. This is a great event. Now, I know tonight you're cold, but I can't say that, you know, I can't tell you just pretend that you're at a football game, because we're not at a football game. But, you know, there's people that go to a football game that just sit right on through it. And it can be raining, it can be cold, it can be muddy, but they go right on playing, wallering in the mud, and people, they'll holler and have a good time, you know. And, of course, they do that all for the football game. They just wrap up a little more, and the next night is a little colder, they bring them an extra blanket. And they wrap up, don't have any heaters out there, you know. And they just wrap up and keep right on going. And I know that it's a little cold, but you know, how many of you know that Calvary was hard to endure? Now, are you glad tonight that it's just a little bit cold to give you just a little taste of Calvary tonight? Do you have a little bit of what he had a whole lot of? Have you got enough just to stay here for just a little bit and be glad that you're staying here? I mean, be glad that you're staying here, you know. Hallelujah. That's a good attitude right there. A joyful giver. But we are thankful tonight. I felt that we wouldn't have, you know, a service like an ordinary service tonight, but I felt like that this would be the dedication of the tent. How many of you appreciate the tent? It's beautiful, isn't it? It's beautiful. It's a great, big, beautiful tent, and I told Leon, just, you know, thinking about the people from Little Bethlehem, if the Lord gets the blessing, we'll have to put in another section right away. But anyway, we're grateful for what has been done here and the way that they've worked and being here in the Carolinas, and they will have some shavings down in just a little while and make it a whole lot better. And if it is cool, if we see that it's going to be cool, well, we'll just have 4 or 5 blow heaters out here and it'll be just as nice and comfortable. I remember being under Brother Leroy Jenkins' tent, his big gospel tent, and he just had some big blow heaters lined up on a perch, you know, around, and just had them in a kind of a half moon shape, and it just kept it so nice and comfortable under there. Better than the summertime, didn't even have to fight the mosquitoes.
Praise the Lord.
And we can bring them out here. We've got 4 or 5 we can bring out here, or we can buy some and put them out here, and it'd be nice and comfortable. But I believe that God let it be cool tonight to keep all of the others out except the ones he wanted.
Praise the
Lord, amen. How do you know this represents the rapture? How do you know everybody's not in the rapture?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So then God let it work this way so that it would be pleasing to him, knowing that the others wouldn't endure the cross. Everything would work out just right. And somebody said, well, Brother Cooper's here. But how do you know that Brother Cooper's in a place that represents the resurrection? Even the resurrection of my brother Charles. I was talking to my wife about the other day. Now, years ago, we was in the area where Brother Cooper is. We had an old schoolhouse building, and God filled it up. And we had a tremendous meeting, and even the police there in the little town came out to be with us. But it represents a great thing, and that's why God has allowed him to come here tonight. But we're grateful. We're very grateful for the tent, and on further along in the week, the Lord being kind to us, we're planning to set up the video cameras and put this on film, that it'll be a lasting memory and something we can always go back to. If it gets winter time and gets cold, we just go back down to Little Bethlehem in the lower part Set the heaters in there and get everything nice and cozy and just set up the video and set and see it all over again. You'll enjoy it a whole lot better because you'll be a whole lot warmer. Then you'll be glad you endured the cold when you look back and see that, won't you? So then we're going to do it in color. The one that we did over in the Carolinas was not in color. It was black and white. But we're going to do this in color. Brother Floyd's already made the arrangements and he'll be bringing it up toward the weekend. But during this week, we're trusting that God will bless here, and as I say, they'll have some shavings here. And I'd like for you to pray because this represents a great thing. Now, I appreciate our singers tonight. I noticed somebody's give Brother Rick a beautiful white guitar here. And they're fixing to go down into Nashville and make the recordings. They're fixing to record some of the songs that we wrote and get with Brother Tidwell and make some recordings. It's going to be a blessing to us under the tent here. And at Little Bethlehem. I want you to pray about it. And I want you to ask God to help you. Now I know that you're working on a job and I know it's hard for you to come this far and keep your job going. And I know it's going to be almost impossible for you to get back here every night. And I realize that. But there's some of them that's not here tonight that maybe will be here the next time. So what I'd like to ask you to try to do, in that I know that it's hard for you to get back every night, try to work it to where you can get back every other night. And maybe like you come here on Monday, if you can't get back tomorrow night, we'll try to get back by Wednesday night, and then coming maybe Friday night, and then just stay over the weekend. You could do it that way. And if you can get back every night, well, come back every night. But try to come back enough to see that you help Brother Wilson get the revival on its way here. And then after that, it'll take care of itself. But being a new tent, people speculate, you know, and they wonder. And tonight I understand some was here and they went off and left, you know, seeing the tent wasn't up. And I felt like it would work out like that. But try your best to work to where we can put these meetings over for God and see God do a great thing. And I feel like He will. I feel like that we'll see the times under this tent that God will fill it up. Now I know that the real move of God for this tent is laying around in the next year, around April. I know that. I told you, brethren, that it'll be about 7 months from the time that we ordered it. And that will be the real move of God. But God intended for this to go up to typify the rapture because it's right here at the winter time, and the winter time has to do with the tribulation period. And the church goes up and the rest goes through the tribulation period. Isn't that right? So God had to have this up at least one time to carry out what He wanted. I know it's a little bit cold tonight for people to be dressing out in white suits. The world would think that was a foolish thing, wouldn't they? I come down the steps of the Ramada Inn over there, and as I started down, there was a feller at the base of the steps, and he saw me coming down, and he looked like he'd been drinking anyway, he had something in his hand, and he looked like he just about ready to get hysterical. He looked like he couldn't hardly believe it, you know, as I come down them steps, and he started talking and trying to talk, and he was, I don't know, he just looked like he was almost hysterical. I couldn't even speak back to him. He was so loud and boisterous, you know, trying to talk with me. But anyway, it's a little bit peculiar for a person to be in a white suit. But I'd made the statement that I felt it would be this way, and I didn't make any preparations to get a white suit. I didn't go looking for it, but God saw that I had a white suit. And God saw that it was for this time, and God saw that it come from Little Bethlehem, because it has to do with the message that's being preached at Little Bethlehem, bringing the people into the garments of God for the rapture of the church. And my son George Jr. being here tonight has to do with the resurrection. I think you'll agree he's been in the prison and everything else. Being resurrected. Is that right? He said tonight he'd been down to hell and come back up. So he had to do with the resurrection, which is the redemption of the body. Then my other spiritual son, Brother Leon, he has to do with the spiritual part of it. The body and the spirit united together in the move of God that is about to go forth. Working together, my firstborn in the Lord. So then it is a great thing, these white clothes that Betty and I have on to explain it just a little bit. It has to do with the rapture of the church, showing that the church, along with Christ, has been raptured out. And with that comes the resurrection of my son, George Jr., which I spoke of that had to do with the Jewish people. Here, we're in the Carolinas, and Carolina has to do with the heavenly perspective of it. How many of you know that? It has to do with the heavenly perspective. Not very far from the Atlantic Ocean here. And this is a great, great thing. You notice that this is the area where there has been a movie somewhere in this area before, and films have to do with the rapture. How many know that? You that understand spiritual things understand that. And of course, the film world has gone out pretty much as far as theaters, and the video system has come in to take over. And of course, we'll be videoing here to show the new part, which indicates the rapture of the church again. A lot of things that we could say concerning this area and what is taking place that some of you would right readily understand just as quick as we said something. But I just wanted to brief a few of those things to let you know that something peculiar is taking place. Not an ordinary thing. If it wasn't so cold tonight, I'd take time and elaborate. I'm going to talk to you just for a few minutes and try to let you go. But if it wasn't so cold tonight, I'd take a few minutes and elaborate on what is taking place to let you know just how outstanding it really is. Now, I've heard people say, well, this will do until, you know, that comes. But there won't be anything else coming. This will do, period. This will do. Because this is not till something else comes, this is it. I understand we've already had a visitor in this area that's tried to talk somebody out of coming here and being a part of this. Is that right? I understand he's already come and tried to talk some of them out of being a part of this. But you know, you can't talk folks out of being a part of this. If you're a part of this, nobody can talk you out of it. And if you're not a part of it, nobody can talk you into it. So then, this is something that God is doing, and it's not a matter of seeing how many you can get in church or how many members will join or how many would be a part of the crusade. It's not that at all. This evangelistic crusade here in the Carolinas that Brother Leon is holding is not something that you add and take away as you will, but it's what God adds daily to the church. Is that right? Not preaching the message that's vindicated. That's not what we're doing. We're preaching the vindicator that vindicates the man. We're preaching Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody said, as Paul of old, I'm preaching Christ and Him crucified. I'm preaching Christ and Him resurrected. Amen. So then, it is a good thing to be here tonight. It is wonderful to know that God is with us and to understand the great things that God's doing. I'd like to read just a little bit, if you've got your Bibles, and talk with you. And I'll try not to talk long, but I'd like to read just a little bit, if you will. Chapter 4, 1 Samuel, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines. And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were coming into the camp, the elders of Israel said, wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies. Now, I want to take just a few minutes, if I can, tonight, and talk with you. And I'll try not to keep you long, because I know that you're uncomfortable out there. And yet I know that this is a great, great event. God's doing a great thing, and he has got this here for this purpose, and he's let it be cold for this purpose. So then tonight, I'll try not to take very long, but let me say this to you tonight. Something is taking place. Something outstanding is taking place tonight. We're not here in the Carolinas just by chance, but there is something that is outstanding that is taking place, and God has allowed us to come here tonight that we might be partakers in what God is doing in this age and in this place. God has a specific place for every move of God, and everything that God does, it has to be in a very special way and a very special place. God has chosen the Carolinas and in this area that it might be a special place and a special thing in what God is doing. Now, I read to you tonight that here, how that when the Ark of the Covenant was taken away from Israel, how that Phinehas' wife began to travail, and how that a child came into the world, and how that this child's name was called Ichabod, which means that the glory of God has departed. God has tonight brought this to me that I might minister just a few minutes on this to let you know what God is doing at this hour and at this time. It is a true fact that God has at this hour taken the Ark of the Covenant and let the Ark of the Covenant come to the people of God and come away from those people out there in the world that has taken it away from the church in the time past. Here I read to you how that it left Israel and how that it went out into the world, and when it went out into the world and went among the Philistines, then the Philistines had the upper hand and Israel always lost the battle. And as long as that ark was among those people out there, those people always had the preeminence, and those people always put Israel to flight. It said that Israel went out to battle, but when they went out to battle, that many of them were slain, and they had to turn before the enemy and go back to their homes, having lost their loved ones. It is a proven fact that when the Ark of the Covenant was among them, that Israel could go out to battle and not one person would be slain. Hundreds and thousands of people could be destroyed, but Israel would never lose a soldier. As long as the Ark of the Covenant was with them, then God was always blessing Israel. It is a true fact that when Israel lost the Ark of the Covenant, that she never won any battles. It is a true fact that as long as that Ark was among those people, Israel was having problems, and those people took the preeminence. It is a true fact that that represented the hour that we're living in, and this day that God has brought us into, and that they have taken away from you and I the Ark of the Covenant in the past, and the world has had the preeminence, and the church of the living God has suffered continually. The Bible said that the kingdom of God suffers violence, and that violence has taken it, and has taken it by force from the people of God. They moved in, and they've taken the Word of God, and they've taken the religious way of God, and they've made seminaries, and they've made great places of worship, and they've set up their religious ways of life, and they've taken the kingdoms of this world that belong to the kingdom of God, and they have set up their own way of life and done their own thing, and they have made us slaves just as they did the children of Israel down in the land of Egypt, when they put them at hard bondage. And the people of God has continually been under the powers and the jurisdiction of the evil Antichrist and the evil mind of Antichrist and the evil anti-system that's been in this world. The people of God until this day have never had a genuine revival of restoration that would bring them their inheritance or give them their proper place in God. They've never had it before. But this tent that's going up here tonight, this tent that God has set here in the Carolinas, it represents the day of the restoration of Christ, the day of the resurrection of the saints of God that have been dead, that's been inactive, that has done nothing as far as participating in the world. It represents the life coming back into the body. It represents the ark that was lost to the world being restored back. It represents the great things of God that's been taken from the saints of God coming back to its rightful end. It represents the hour when we are to rise and take the kingdoms of this world and declare the kingdoms of this world to be the kingdoms of our God. Hallelujah. This is a great hour and a great time. I know there's not a lot of enthusiasm here tonight, because when the flesh is uncomfortable, then there's not much enthusiasm, there's not much receiving, because we don't want the preacher to go very long. We'd rather he just know that we're not that interested. We want to hear what he's got to say. We'd like to be kind to him, but be glad when he shuts up. But nevertheless, I know the seriousness of your heart, many of you that are here. I know the concern of your heart, and I know that you're interested in the Word of God and interested in the move of God. Because many of you have worked hard out on the job to see that this thing could go forth. But folks, let me tell you tonight, as we take just a few minutes, that this is the greatest thing that's ever happened in the world, ever before. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, Calvary is the greatest thing that ever took place. Calvary is the greatest thing that ever took place. That's true. But today we are reaping the benefits of Calvary. This is the day of the reaping. The day of God's benefits and what He did to Calvary. Or at Calvary. So then today, this is the benefits. This makes this the greatest day of all, because what Christ did at Calvary, this is what it was to come to. That we were to receive our inheritance, receive eternal life, and come into the great things of God. So then tonight, this tent being here represents that. When that ark was separated from Israel, there was trouble and there was heartaches. There was sicknesses and there was problems and there was death. But in the day that God restored that, all the sicknesses and problems left. And God came back in the midst of Israel, and the Spirit and the anointing, Christ returned. And great things begin to happen to Israel, and God began to magnify them as a nation. And folks, ever since the kingdom of God's been taken from the church, there's been sickness, there's been problems, there's been heartaches, and there's been sorrows. The church has gone through many problems. And the Bible said, if in this world only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. It is a true fact that there's been problems in a continual stream ever since that the Ark of the Covenant has been taken away from the church. People have become cold and indifferent. They become careless. They become unconcerned about the things of God. They prayed for days and months and haven't got their healing. There's people that's cried for days and for months. For a number of years, people have cried and not been healed. There's preachers that's traveled through the land. There's been multitudes of people, preachers that's traveled through the land, that's laid hands on them and prayed for them. And they said they were healed, but they were not healed. And the people still went home without the divine deliverance. But folks, we're entering into the era and into the age and into the time when we pray for the sick, they're going to be healed. And when they go back home, they'll have a divine deliverance that somebody won't have to try to convince them of. They'll know that they're healed by the power of God. We're entering into the place to where God will put His Spirit back among us. The Bible said, fear not, as I have covenanted with thee, so my Spirit remaineth among you. And so then God's Spirit is moving back into the church. It's the hour when God is restoring the covenant back to Israel. Ever since Israel lost the covenant, back at Calvary, then the church has had problems. But God is at this time restoring the ark back to Israel and bringing Israel up as a nation. And when Israel comes up as a natural nation, it indicates the inheritance coming to the church. People that do not understand spiritual things do not know what I'm speaking of tonight. But it is a true fact that Israel has to do with the redemption of the body. And when Israel becomes a nation and God begins to do something for Israel, it means that we are on the verge of the redemption of the body. It means when God begins to do something for Israel, it means that we're on the verge of receiving the inheritance that we've longed far down through the years. Hallelujah. We are on the verge of receiving our inheritance. God is at last turning away from the nation of America and turning away from the nations of the world and beginning to turn to Israel, to bring Israel in as the head of the nation. And with the coming in of the head of the nation, that means that the church is to come back into focus, and God is to set His eye again upon the church, which is the apple of His eye. Hallelujah. I see something for the church at this hour that has never been given to the church before. The church has never before had the pleasure of enjoying divine healing as a whole. They've never had the pleasure of enjoying peace as a whole. Even Paul, that preached the revelation of Jesus Christ, he said, he made the statement that within my heart, he said, there's continual sorrow. Is that right? Though he preached deliverance, though he preached healing, yet he said, within my heart, there is continual sorrow. There was sorrow in the heart of Paul, and yet he had the power to deliver. There was sorrow in the heart of Paul, and yet Paul knew that what he had would redeem the body and bring it into the presence of God and bring the restoration of the church. It was out of season, but it's not out of season anymore. It's not out of season. It's time that we begin to realize that we are not waiting until something comes, that this is it. As I said last night around the altars there, it's time that we anchor it in something and quit wondering if Brother Terrell is right, or Brother Pike is right, or Brother Branham is right, or Brother Roberts is right, or if the Methodist is right, or the Baptist is right, or whoever's right, and realize that God's Word is right, and that this is God's Word. Hallelujah. It's time that we come together in a unit. Stop troubling our minds and stop other people from troubling our minds. Stop trying to figure out something and realize that this is God's way of doing things in this day. That this is God's method of saving the church in this hour. And that we need to be grounded and rooted in the truth of God and forget about everybody else and everything else and unite together to take the kingdoms for God. It is the hour when we are to rise up and take the kingdoms of God, or the kingdoms of this world, to make them the kingdoms of our God. They were taken from us at Calvary, and the ones that are on the grounds today are squatters. And it's our hour to rise up and take those kingdoms back. That's why the coming in of the Jewish nation represents the body, represents the resurrection of the body. Folks, when we talk as spiritual people in America, the weapon of our warfare is not carnal. Is that right? When we talk about inheritance in America, we talk about a spiritual inheritance and we don't bother with any natural thing. Is that right? But I want you to know, when the Jews come, they're concerned about this earth. They're concerned about the trees. They're concerned about the brooks. They're concerned about the rivers. They're not concerned about spiritual things. They're concerned about the natural thing. God promised them this world for an inheritance. They're concerned about making the kingdoms of this world the kingdoms of God. Is that right? When they come, they're concerned about the natural things of this world, and God has given them the natural things of this world. And when they come in, their weapon of warfare is going to be natural. They're going to use natural weapon of warfare to overthrow the nations of this world and to conquer the nations of this world until the blood flows to the horse's bridle. And they're going to become the head of the nation, and they're going to take the governments and overthrow every other government in the world and set up their own form of government until everything in this world is under their control. With that, that means that you and I are going to be in control of everything throughout the universe, not only in this world, but the world to come. For we who are spiritual, we who are educated in Christ, we who have the mind of God, will be elevated above them. Amen. That's right. And we will have the controlling power, the controlling authority, and what we say will be what they will do. And what they do will be what the people of the world will do obeisance unto. This tent tonight, being here, and Brother Wilson, along with my son, being my children in God, they reverence and respect what we stand for. They accept the revelation of Jesus Christ as the supreme power of authority, and they work under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, declaring the revelation of Jesus Christ to point back to little Bethlehem as a typical thing as the head of the nations. In working under the power and supervision of the revelation of Christ, it makes you to understand what I'm speaking of concerning the Jews and the saints of God. How do you understand what I'm saying? As they work out on the field, we who are gathered together here, we are representing something peculiar in the earth. I read to you that this child being born, when the Ark of the Covenant departed, that Ichabod was wrote over the door. Is that right? I made the statement not too long ago when they took the flag and the flag was took up to the moon and they put the flag on the moon. I made the statement, I said, that means that Ichabod is written over the door. When the man child went up, Satan or Lucifer went out. And when the flag that they called Old Glory went up, it indicated that the glory had departed from the United States, or the glory had departed from the nation of this world that we live in, called America, and had gone yonder to the moon where they put the flag. It indicated that Ichabod was wrote over the door, that the glory of God had departed from America. And it was about the time that America turned away from Protestantism and turned to the powers of Catholicism. So then it is, as we read here tonight, Ichabod is written over the door of America. She's gone, she's finished, she's done for. And like a fellow from Sweden the other day, he wrote us a letter and said, I don't agree with Brother Pike when he said that there is no hope for America. He said so many Americans died for the Sweden people, I could never believe that. But I want you to know that though he's a fine man, he doesn't understand spiritual things enough. Ichabod is wrote over the door of America, and America is numbered as it was in the days of Daniel, and God has finished America. And as a nation, she is done for. And there is another government that's moving in. At the time that the government will move in to take over America to cause the trouble, then the spiritual government of God will move in to take control of the saints to bring the kingdoms of this world into the control of the kingdoms of God. This is not a game that we're playing. It is not something that we're making believe. We are not going from place to place testifying of a dead man, as some of them are concerning Brother Branham. We're not speaking of some past leader that raised up the Methodist Church or the Baptist Church. All of those things are wonderful and all of those things are good, and God's got a place for them. But folks, we are talking about what God is doing right here in this present hour. We're talking about what God is concerned about right now. We're not speaking of some dead movement that's done wore itself out or killed itself by trying to deceive the people and turned itself into a money machine. I believe that God has been in the Baptist Church. I believe God has been in the Methodist Church. I believe that God has been in the Pentecostal churches. I believe that God has been among the Brother Branham followers. But I believe that each one of them individually has rejected God in such a way that they are becoming more and more a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And you can't get along with them, and you can't reason with them, and they won't listen, and they don't believe in anything new, and you can't add anything to their doctrine. You can't bring a revival to them. For they say, we are rich and have need of nothing, and know not that they're wretched and naked and blind and miserable. So then God has rejected them. All of them. Not one of them, but all of them. He's rejected them. And God is bringing up a new thing, and God is doing a new thing, and that new thing is the revelation of Jesus Christ. In the beginning, it was the spoken word. Read it in Genesis. That was the original seed. But in the end, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiled word. Hallelujah. The seed spreading out and the seed bringing a harvest. It is the veil taken off in the end time. The spoken word is the original seed to be put in the ground. But the revelation is when the flower opens up and the fragrance comes from it, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so then we're living in the day and the hour of the unveil. The glory has departed from America. The Ark of the Covenant that was taken away from the church is at last come back to the church. And this tent being set here tonight denotes a movement that God is bringing about in the earth to redeem His people, that they may be raptured in this message. This message is the rapture that's taking place. Now I know that the Trinitarian world especially, and along with the Jesus name world that they call it, of oneness people, have all taught the same thing, that there's going to be some unusual thing take place and a rapture is just going to jerk them up and they're all going to go out of here. That's right. Even among the Brother Branham followers, they believe the same thing. I've talked to them. But if they check back, they'd find out that Brother Branham himself made the statement that the rapture was a revelation. I didn't even know he said that until just a few months ago. But it was obvious when God spoke to me years ago and made me to understand. It was obvious that the rapture was a revelation, and we preached it and pointed out how that it would come, how that it would take place, and brethren, it's doing it just exactly that way. Hallelujah. God is doing some things that people don't see. There's been a lot of dispute over the serpent seed. We've had a lot of dispute, but I had one of the Brother Branham followers to come a few days ago, and he said in my house, and he said, Brother Pike, he said, many of the brethren in the Brother Branham following is beginning to see what you said about the serpent seed and beginning to understand that that's the right way. And said they went back and checked Brother Branham's books, and they found out that Brother Branham had made the statement that he couldn't understand why that his followers was always trying to turn it into a natural thing, that it was a spiritual thing. Come on, folks. Hallelujah. So then we better wake up and see where we're going. And if God gives us a chance to get into the revelation of Christ, we better get in as quick as we can. Hallelujah. Now then, I took a little time to exhort you tonight, knowing that it wasn't going to take as far as you being spiritual tonight, but realizing that you were serious enough to listen and get what I had to say. Now I wanted you to see tonight, in kind of a small way, why that this tent is here, why the money has been spent for it, why God has brought Brother Wilson here to preach and to take this tent out on the field and to do the work that he's doing. It is a great thing. When Brother Delmer Baldwin took the other tent that we gave him, it was a great thing. Now I understand he's fixing to set that big tent in Florida. I think maybe they've got it sewn up from the storm now. But this tent represents something far greater. This represents the ultimate of what God was to do and represents a completion of what God is doing. Now I trust tonight that in these few scattered remarks that we've made, that these things will live with you from now on. And toward the end of the week, if we're privileged to come back and say anything to you, or whenever we're privileged to speak to you, whether in the middle of the week or the end of the week or whatever, then we'll be able to bring out some more things to where you can understand more clearly and more precisely what we're trying to do in the move of God, and what Brother Wilson is trying to do in the move of God, and what God is doing in the move of God. All right, I'd like for you to stand with me for just a few minutes. I didn't want to speak to you tonight because I was already hoarse. And as I said, I didn't want to speak last night. I was trying to get straightened out a little bit in my throat. But God saw fit last night for me to say some things, and He saw fit for me to say some things tonight. It makes it real difficult to try to preach to people when it's cold to begin with, because people are not enthusiastic at all. It makes it very difficult. You spark them off when you first start, and then that's it. But under this tent, I know that God will come down in a great way. The glory of God will be here, and the blessings of the Lord will be here. And I want you to know tonight that we are thankful for what is being done. It's something that they would even have these little gateway of the West cards here. I hadn't even noticed them being here. But we spoke of the Missouri meeting that we had being the beginning of this thing. And here they've got these things right over here under the tent tonight. God willing to confirm His word by some little minor thing. But I want you that live here in the Carolinas to go out, testify, tell the people what you understand. The Bible said, compel them to come in that my house might be filled. And this being the house of God, then you need to tell them to come in. It's something even. Rick even has the Noah's Ark picture here where we stayed at Noah's Ark while we was over there in Missouri to confirm it even the more. And he found both of these in his pocket. That represents the resurrection, you remember, and Rick had these in his pocket, bringing them right on over. And of course, this represents coming out into the new earth. How do you love the Lord tonight? Now I want you to try to work with me as much as you can. Work with Brother Leon here as much as you possibly can. Try to keep the meeting alive and come, fast and pray and seek God and do whatever you can for the cause of the Lord Jesus. And I'm sure that you'll be blessed, and God will do something special and something unusual. On a cold night, a preacher isn't going to try to do much for you because you don't want much. But there'll be some nights that'll be better than this. Maybe we'll have some heaters in here or whatever, and you will be willing to sit and listen a little bit and willing to loosen up to where God can do something for you. This has a great spiritual significance that those tents did not hold. There's about $10,000 here in this tent. But what it represents, $10 million couldn't touch it. So then it is a great thing. It's a great memorial event, a great occasion. You're fortunate to be here tonight. What you represent in having come to Little Bethlehem, or having come in contact with Little Bethlehem, what you represent by being in touch with Little Bethlehem. Did you notice tonight that the people that are here, most every one of them tonight has to do with Little Bethlehem? I don't know of any of them here tonight that doesn't have to do with Little Bethlehem. The ones that's from the Carolinas here have already made commitments toward Little Bethlehem. Even our brother Cooper has already made commitment in his heart toward Little Bethlehem, according to what our brother Wilson had told us. So then, God doing a great thing tonight, having this tent here and having you here, it represents something that's coming out of Little Bethlehem. That's what these white clothing represent. Sister Beachy made these. She worked real hard. I see she's here tonight. I was disturbed. I thought maybe she didn't get here. But she worked and made these, worked real hard and made these at Little Bethlehem. And these white garments tonight, I know are just white garments, but they're typical of what God is producing out of Little Bethlehem. God is producing the raiment by the revelation of Jesus Christ that is sufficient to take us to where we need to go and to make us what we need to be. That's the great spiritual significance of why that Betty and I have worn these white clothes on this particular night. And that day will outshine the noonday sun. The Bible said that we'll be whiter than any full of soap could wash us, as white as snow. When he resurrected from the dead, John saw him, and he was as white could be. Tonight, I want you to lift your hands, just turn it out toward us like this. And we're going to pray tonight as each one of us lifts up our hands. And we're going to dedicate this tent to God tonight. Ask the Lord to give a great harvest unto this tent to us. And to our brother Leon, as he goes forth to George Jr., to give a great harvest unto this tent, that many people will be baptized in Jesus' name. Many people will receive the infilling of the Spirit. And you can rest assured that this little tent setting here and there and wherever it goes is going to scare the evangelists out on the field when they hear this tent has gone up in certain places. It's going to shake even the evangelists like Brother Terrell and other great men. I've already seen this in a vision and how that this thing shook them, and it's really going to shake them because it is God's last move to a world that the glory of God has departed from. The glory of God hasn't just departed from America, it's departed from humanity, and God is fixing to bring in the saints to take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. I know you're wearing in war because the Bible said Satan would wear out the saints of God, but it's time that we begin to arise and take the kingdoms of this world and declare them to be the kingdoms of our God. As a matter of fact, they've already got a banner that goes up here, across here. They've got a great long banner, and this banner will have on it, the kingdoms of this world has now become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. They'll put it up right across here because that's what it represents. Let's just lift our hands up together now and close our eyes for just a moment. Precious, wonderful Heavenly Father, as we come to you in the presence of our brethren, and dear God, of these that are gathered around tonight, feeling the great spirit and liberties of the sons of God. Hallelujah, realizing the redemption of the bodies here, the precious possession by which you spilt your blood at Calvary. Oh, God, tonight we feel the same quickening spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. Father, we ask you tonight to move by your glory and your power tonight. Stimulate us in Christ tonight, Father. And oh God, we dedicate this tent to you tonight for your glory. Father, may it be thine. May you protect it, Father. May your spirit rest upon it. May the mighty anointing of God be upon the man of God each night as he comes to minister the words of the Lord. May thy spirit be here, God. May this tent be filled with thy divine presence. The glory of God, may it move through this tent in a great and a mighty way. Father, I pray in your great and mighty name, Jesus, Father, that every person that comes under this tent would fall under conviction, and the great power and conviction of God would seize them, O Lord. Father, until they're ready to submit themselves unto thee, I pray that every heart will be in tune with thee, Father, as it comes under this tent, wherever this tent is set. God, that you will give that place to these evangelists, God. Brother Wilson, as he stands there to minister the word of God, may your anointing rest upon Brother Wilson in a mighty and a great way, Father, and upon George Jr., Lord, as they take this tent, God, to the ends of the earth. I pray that thy spirit, Lord, would lead him and guide him and meet every need. May the hearts of the people be impressed, Lord, to meet the needs, Father, financially. And may the support be their God that they need to continue to carry this tent on. Blessed and protected from storms, protected from the enemy, protected from anyone, God, that would do any harm to them or it. May thy blessings be upon it. We plead the blood of Calvary over it as a protection tonight in the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Let's sing this little chorus, and we will give it to Brother Wilson. We sang the chorus, "When the Battle Is Over." Can we sing it? And when the battle is over, we shall